Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If today is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp. Our vision here at Voice of Destiny is to empower you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. The Bible tells us in Matthew, the 6th chapter, if we would simply seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all the things, all the T-H-I-N-G-S things that we have need of, God would add them unto us. The Bible even informs us in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or all that we imagine. And so we want to restore to you the imagery of God's will for your life, that pattern, that express pattern that God has for you and your family, that you will realize it through the intelligence of his word. We have been in the middle of a conversation about the family, the phenomenal family. We've been talking about kingdom strategies for moving, packing up, and moving our families from a place of mediocrity to a place that is absolutely north of average, so that we can be examples, that we would be priests and a royal priesthood that show forth the praises of God in the midst of our culture and our family, that men may know that God is God. And to help me with this conversation, I've asked Minister Samuel Green from the Washington, D.C. area to join us and continue to talk about the precepts of fatherhood in our communities and in the church today. Welcome, Minister Samuel Green, to Voice of Destiny Show. I want to thank you for sharing your life with us and your incredible testimony. What do you think would be God's standards? What is God's rules of standards for fathers today, so that we can understand? Because the world has gotten their source of right and wrong not from God or his word, but they've gotten it from their family origin, or they've gotten it from what their culture said is a standard for fatherhood. What would you say to us in kingdom would be God's principles and standards for fatherhood?
Well, praise the Lord. You know what Ephesians say about fathers, to love your children and not to provoke them. And so we must start with the Bible. And
Wow. We
must have a mindset to be able to do that. Sometimes fathers can be a little short and a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially in a situation such as I was going through, I had to deal with my anger,
mm-hmm.
And I had to deal with forgiveness. And you're not going to be successful in walking this thing out if you happen to be a single dad or separated from your spouse or significant other. If, in fact, you don't first forgive, and then if you don't deal with your anger issues, it will spill over and spill out. And you don't want that to happen. I do recall one incident that me and my son was out, and my son had to deal with his mom, and she was asking him questions. And the little brother was just angry. And I caught the end of it, but I was saying, okay, why are you angry? Why are you upset? Because nothing that I saw happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know. And so this, time had went on, and then he was talking to a little girl. And he was talking to a little girl one day, and he made the little girl cry. And I said, why would you make the little girl cry, man? What's going on? He said something on the wise that he was walking with his boys, and this was a little girl that he liked. And when he saw her, he began to drone on her or not pay any attention to her when she was trying to talk to him. And I said, well, where did you get that from? Why would you treat somebody that you like, like that? And the brother said, well, I saw you talk to mama. And I said, oh, my goodness. So I really just want to tell the brother, your sons, your daughters are watching you. You are on display 24/7. So it would behoove you if you would take the time, take a deep breath, and begin to work through your anger issues and your being unforgiving. And once you put unforgiveness and your anger issue, it's clear sailing. But you have to get to that point.
Wow. So fathers have to understand we are blueprints. And children will build based on the image that we put before them.
The images that's been put before them, that's right.
Wow. And we know this is biblical. When you look in scriptures, you see the sins that Abraham committed, his son Jacob committed, his son Isaac. The sins that Isaac committed, his son Jacob committed, all of them telling untruths about who their wives were. That pattern.
Who their wives, exactly.
We see that, and it makes us be responsible about, what is it that we're sowing to the next generation? Are we going to sow blessings or are we going to sow curses? And it comes by that model of who we are, because what we do speaks louder than even our words. And so, wow, this that was an incredible story you just told us, to teach me. Gosh, I got to start examining what I'm doing. I learned this lesson about how your kids will mimic what you do. We had this little family gathering, and everybody was switching roles. Somebody chose to act like mom. Somebody chose to act like dad. Somebody chose to act like my oldest son, Daniel. And when they all came, everybody wanted to take their turn acting like me. They were all the negatives. And I was like, wow. My eyelids was like open to say, I've got to watch that.
Wow. Incredible.
Wow. So fatherhood, we were talking about fatherhood in the church. When you go to many churches, you see that there are more women than there are men. I mean, fortunately, I'm in a local church where there's a heavy presence of men that are there, but a lot of times that's not the case. And I recognize that the women who don't have husbands attached to them, they are trying to raise their sons up in the admonition of the Lord and their daughters, but that piece is missing. What could we as the church be intentional in that area to make sure that that all families have access to the patriarchal principles and models that will help the families be whole and to live phenomenal in their life? What would you pass on to us in terms of that?
Well, on the last conversation, we ended on this topic, and I was saying that some type of big brother or mentorship should be present in the church. And children don't want a lot from you. They really just want your time and your acceptance. And if they can get that, they'll go a long way. And what happens with little boys and men is that little boys get their affirmation from men. They actually get their imagery of what they are to be and what they're going to look like. They get that from men. And women can't supply that no matter how hard they try.
They can raise their sons to be gentlemen, but they can't give that image to them.
Exactly.
Let's hold on to that point, and we'll come back from the break and talk about it.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopped, and my guest today is Minister Samuel Green, a great father and a man full of wisdom about these matters of fatherhood. And we were talking about how in the world and in the church that many young men and young women are brought up in atmospheres where there's not a father model or image that's there. And we were talking, Minister Sam, about how young men get their affirmation. They get their blueprint, their model for what they should be as men for men. And they won't get that from women, no matter how nice and loving and kind a woman is, that a woman can teach her son to be responsible, a gentleman, law-abiding, but she cannot teach him to be a man without the imagery of a manhood being before him. We think about Abraham, when God said, Abraham, I want you to be the patriarch of your family, but I got to show you something. I got to show you something you didn't see in your father, and I want you to look up into the sky, and I want you to see how many stars are in the heaven. That's how many children that you're going to have. That is the realm of level of responsibility that you're going to have. And it's this conversation that fathers give to sons or men can pass on to young men that are emerging that gives them the imagery and the blueprint to go and build what God wants them to have. And you ended on that piece. Let's continue to talk about that.
You know, as we have stated, you know, these are some of the tools that the church need to incorporate deliberately. These need to be intentional. That they are working with the youth and with young people, you know, anyway. And we would be able to cut out and cut off a lot of mischief and things that the youth find themselves in, like the gangs, if the issues would be addressed intentionally. And we can go on and get them kids off to a swifter start than having to go through a whole lot of knocks and bruises, hitting and missing.
Well, you know, this is important that we begin to understand the power of intent. You know, for exactly. Jesus understood, for this reason was I born. And I think when we begin to understand, teach our families, what reason have these families been born? You know, what's the purpose of this family? It helps you to manage your resources. It helps you to discover a direction when you know for what reason has this family been born. What is the end in mind that Father has for this? Then where our family as a whole individually are able to say yes to the things that we're to say yes to and no to the things that we are to say no to and realize that we can harness the power of purpose to get to those destinations that God has in store for us. And it really, and a young man or a young woman may growing up may say, well, I didn't have an excuse for not excelling in life because I didn't have a father. Exactly. But I got to tell you, Frederick Douglass didn't even know. Frederick Douglass, his father, you know, was his mother's rapist. That's how he came into the world. But he did not let that stop him from being what God had called him to be. We've got to understand that many times we are born in a family structure where it's not traditional, it's not ideal, but when God has a plan for us, when we tap into God's purpose for us, we are able to go and build and master and overcome whatever obstacles and circumstances that are in front of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Exactly.
You know, this is an important issue for our family today. You know, we think about a lot of the young men in our culture, they're being drawn to these groups and systems and atmosphere because they don't have a father. What
exactly.
is it that you think that we need to do about these systems? You said to be intentional. What should be the next thing after we've moved in intent to preserving the benefit of fatherhood in our families?
Well, you know, once you are in it, then other things can be erected, but we definitely need to start doing that. But I would like to say to the single dads that they need to start that process. Even right now, it's not too late. It's not too late wherever you are and wherever your children are, even in their age. Repent and just go get it right. Kids don't want you to give them a long list of why you didn't, but what they will appreciate and grasp from you is that you love them. And you love by really showing your love. You go out and you begin to just spend time with them. Just, you know, let them do the talking, and they will talk to you, and you just listen. And as you listen to them, in the middle of your listening to them, God will give you just what to say. And yeah. He will give you to say that will not only bridge that gap, but will edify you and edify them, and to unite the family in your fatherhood back together, where God will be pleased with that.
And children are willing to forgive, you know. And most children, they get a chance to observe that the failures of their father is a common failure. Because a lot of the fathers failed for the same reasons. They were too young. They were unprepared. They didn't have models. They have the same reasons. And you can go to your kids and say, hey, I cannot give a good explanation for why I wasn't a better dad. But what I can do, if you give me an opportunity, is to start right here where we are, to begin to build the kind of a relationship that God wants for us, and we'll start wherever you are. If you just, you're in a place right now where you can just take things from me, you know, let them have that season, you know. If they just need you to be around, you know, to point and know that there is a father that exists, you know. Some kids, their standards, their expectation of fatherhood is not even that great because they're so hungry and thirsty for that masculine leadership in their life. If you would simply be willing to humble yourself and, you know, give your mea culpa and say, hey, you know, I've not been a perfect person, and, you know, I didn't have a perfect upbringing. I didn't have a perfect situation, but what I do, I got a perfect love for you, and I want to begin to start all over. I think that's an incredible starting place for most fathers, you know, to start at, because even if the father is in the home from the beginning, from the womb to the grave, no kid's going to think that their dad's perfect, but they do know when their dad loves them, even if they're not perfect.
Exactly. Yes. And you know what? The little girls are just as hungry for dad as the little boys.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and more so.
Exactly. And if you would be able to, you know, see beyond you and see your daughter and see your son, and you give them level ground to begin to operate off of, so they won't be out of balance, and prey for the enemy. If we'd begin to just deliberately, just intentional, start by just calling them up and showing them at their functions. Just be it. And you don't have to say a whole lot, just be there. Let them see you, and let them hear you say you really enjoyed that and you like that. And keep up the good work. And that will curb a lot of the things that they are turning to.
Yeah. And kids respect sacrifice. They see their moms making sacrifices. And never think just because you paid your child support, that's all you need to do. Because certainly if you were in the home, no matter what your kids are accessing from you, you will be contributing more. And so, and if they're not, you need to be looking at how do I, you know, yes, take care of my kids, but how do I model? How do I model this love of them? How do I model the sacrifice? See, that's the difference between the living God and the false gods of the Greek gods. You know, the Greek gods require their believers to actually make sacrifices for them. But our God offered his sacrifice. He gave his only begotten son. And this is the model of the Heavenly Father that each of us need to learn to model and to duplicate, no matter if we're fathers in the home or outside of the home. Our children need to see the model of sacrifice on our behalf, because this is really how they know that they are loved. The Father points to the sacrifice that he made with Jesus Christ. We need to point to the sacrifice or model those sacrifices. And this puts an imprint in the hearts and the minds of our young people so that they can be inspired and healed and empowered by our fatherhood. Let's take a break right here, and we'll come right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I want you to be aware the Voice of Destiny show is available to you 24/7. Visit our website at voiceofdestinyonline.com, where you can take advantage of this incredible kingdom information that's designed to empower you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. My guest today is Minister Samuel Green from the Washington, D.C. area. Sam, listen, I'm showing some props to your pastor and bishop at your church. Can you let everybody know what your local church there is in the Washington, D.C. area, in case some of them want to come and connect with you?
Yes, sir. Our local church is Heaven's Best Deliverance Church, and that's at 8311 Old Branch Avenue, Clinton, Maryland. And my pastor is Pastor Angelo O. Jones.
Praise God. Well, you know, pastors, having pastors in the life of a family is really important, because it gives the members of that family understanding of authority, delegated authority. Just like mom and dad are in charge, mom and dad and everybody needs to answer to that authority, because God put that authority inside of them, which is his authority. They need to see that mom and dad accountable to an authority like they are, and that's a great model. When they can see the strike of balance, and I think it's important that the people, their fathers, understand that a lot of us aren't great talkers. So when we're not great talkers, we absolutely got to be great doers. And if we're great talkers, we absolutely got to be great doers, because talk is cheap. And that the reality that we cannot make up and sacrifice is what we lose in disobedience as earthly fathers to our children is something that we need to take as a great sense of conviction and responsibility. Being able to bring up our children in the house of the Lord is an important mandate from heaven, that we will walk out God's plans for our lives. And Sam, what should a father do in keeping their children connected to God's house? What are some of the insights that you've had in keeping your son, even though your son is living in two houses? How have you been able to keep your son connected to God's house?
First and foremost, children do and mimic what they see. And so I just stay connected with God, stay on my knees, stay in church, stay in prayer, and I take him to church with me. I don't send him to church. I take him to church.
Wow.
And there is a great difference in sending a child out versus taking a child to. And so when he sees me lose it and I'm crying and when I'm weeping for God and I want more God, and he sees that, he understands and see that that's genuine and that's authentic, then he too, even as a young man, he wants more God too. He wants to be saved too. He wants to be delivered too. He knows that he needs God too. And so that's what I'm really trying to convey over to my son, is that I need God every moment. And even when it looks like or seems like that he's come through and I have him, I want more and I can't get enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are the things in the picture and the imageries and the stories that I want my son to be able to tell his children. And, you know, how he walked with God, with his dad. And that's what I want.
So the integrity of your walk becomes essential to the fathering and the parental role that we all have to carry out to our children. You know, the honor system, teaching your son to honor. How do you teach your son to practice honor? So many of our young men are being caught up into the legal system, the new plantation slavery, which is prison. What is it that you're teaching your son about how to conduct himself, you know, in the environment of this culture that desires to bring young men into that system and never let them go?
Well, first we begin with prayer and putting on the whole armor of God, and then acknowledging God in all your ways that you may direct, he may direct your path, and that whatever you do in your walk, you know, to school, to the bus stop, back home, you know, around the corner, you want to honor God. You want him to be pleased. If we can obey and get that across and over, God will take it from there. There'll be genuine their desire to search out God. And we know it says, if you seek me early, ye shall find me.
Wow. Wow. And so as a young single man now, how are you modeling that aspect of your life, you know, with your relations, how you're relating to the opposite sex in your life and how your son is seeing that? Because he knows you're not attached to a wife right now, so he'll be looking at that. And a lot of men are having to deal with the reality of having that situation with their children.
Incredible. First, you know, I would like to, you know, see God. Listen, God knows everybody's circumstance and their situation, and He knows what's going to keep you. And I must say that my sickness, even though that I thought that was one of the most harsh things to come upon me at that time, was really one of the better things, because by me not being able to hold down a job consistently, I had to move in with my mom. And these things, this is what God was doing behind the scenes. He was setting up parameters that I have to worry about going over and causing myself to be in or entrapped, bringing more drama to my life. And so what I've been able to do, first I had to get myself together, because if I'm sickly and can't do anything, surely I don't need the opposite sex coming into my life, complicating that. Because in order to deal with a sister, you need to be fully well and healthy, both in mind and spirit. And what I've been able to do is, first, like I said, seek God. That relationship with my wife caused me not to be in a hurry to be involved with another sister. And, you know, because, see, listen, if you aren't healed and delivered, it's hurt people hurt people. And so it was no use in me going from relationship to relationship to relationship if I wasn't whole. And that just complicates matters. And so what I wanted my son, because I was mindful of him seeing me handle and talk and relate to the opposite sex. So what I wanted him to see me do is that first I would be godly. And when I would talk to his sister, it would be a wholesome conversation that even your child could be standing right there and you can be having a very good conversation with the opposite sex, and it could be clean, and you could be drawn one to another. And so I wanted him to see that, and I also wanted him to see that you don't run to woman to woman to woman to woman. So that, number one, you need to be listening to God, and he'll tell you this is the one. And you need to be open to that. And a lot of times we are, in those situations, we're governed by other things outside of ourselves. And so, you know, you have those periods when you are lonely, you are all the whole nine gabbers that go with that.
Praise God for the examples that God has made you to be in the life of your son. And I just want to say, Sam, it's been a great talking to you and reconnecting with you. Send your love to Mrs. Green, your mom. Tell her I'm thinking about her and praying for her. And I thank God for the great legacy that you're leaving, not only for your son, but for so many men to know, where do I go? What is God's pattern for me? Have a great one, and we'll reconnect. God bless.
Great.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.